God is good. God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
I didn't hear that. God is good. And all the time. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. And welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would like to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time, or those who are doing so after a long while. We are happy to have you all here. And we invite you to join us after the service at our church hall, where coffee, teas, cakes, biscuits, and other niceties will be shared with you. Welcome. I've been away for the past 2 weeks, and I'm sure that a lot has happened within the parish. We've lost some loved ones, and I would like to ask the congregation, if you may, to kindly stand for us to observe a minute's silence in honor of Leslie Balfour, who passed on to glory in an accident with the husband, David. Please, can we stand? Dear Father, we thank you for the lives that you've given to us. You know us more than we know ourselves. And we are certain that you call us back to be with you. We remember before you our sister Leslie and our brother David, and all those who've recently passed on to glory. Accept them by your side, and may they rest well. Comfort all of us, and especially family members and friends near and dear to them, giving us assurance of hope that sees beyond this life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome also to those who are worshiping via Zoom. During time for coffee and teas, you can have one in your house. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, is hymn 519. Let us pray. Eternal and ever-loving God, as dawn breaks upon this new day, our hearts are flooded with gratitude for the breath in our lungs and the privilege of life. We know that many have longed to witness this day, to bathe in its promise and potential, yet have not been granted the chance. God, our Father, we do not take lightly the grace that allows us to stand before you in this moment, a testament to your boundless mercy and enduring love. Father, we want to learn lessons as we come into your presence this day. And we are thinking about the lesson from Luke's gospel, where a widow's modest offering spoke volumes of her immense faith. And we pray that our hearts would resonate with the desire to give you our all. Lord, in the stillness of this moment, may our worship rise as a fragrant offering, an authentic outpouring of our gratitude. Bless our gathering. Open our hearts to hear your whispers of truth and love. Dear Father, the narrative of the widow's mite not only inspires but convicts us. In her sacrifice, we confront the many times our offerings to you and to others have been mere fragments shared from our surplus rather than our substance. We confess the instances where comfort and convenience have eclipsed true sacrifice, for the times we've been entangled in the facet of giving rather than the heart of sacrifice, we earnestly seek your forgiveness. As we thank you for this new day, we also lay bare our shortcomings, where pride has blinded, where indifference has numbed, and where our faith has wavered. We humbly ask for your guidance and renewal. Refashion our hearts, O Lord, that with each new day gifted, we might grow more in your likeness, offering our all in genuine love and unwavering trust. With contrite hearts, we seek your grace, ever thankful for the opportunity to be alive, to learn, and to love. We bring our prayers to a close as we see the words Jesus Christ gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Good morning, children. And it seems to me there are many in church this morning. Good morning. Good morning. Wow, so many of you. Good morning. How are you today? All good? Have you started school? Already? How is that going? Is it going good? Well, do you like going to school? If you like going to school, let me see your hand up. All of you like going to school. Wonderful. Do you like coming to church? Definitely, you would not be here if you did not like coming to church. This morning, I want to talk about giving to the church. When we come to church, we are expected to give offering. Why do you think we give money to the church? Why do you think we give money to the church? Any answers? Yes. To help people, because the church does charity work. So sometimes we help those who are poor or the needy. So we give money to the church to help people. What more? Yes. To Roberto. Oh, Roberto. Okay, yes, that's still charity. Yes, very good. Very good. Yes? Any other answers? Yes? You've forgotten. Oh, I know you remember. Don't worry. Okay. If we did not give money to the church will not be this clean, because each time we come in here, we dirty the church in one way or the other, so it needs to be cleaned. So we also take care of the church with the money that we give. And also, the money that we give to the church is used to pay pastors or ministers like myself. So if you don't give money to the church, I will not be paid. Is that a good thing? How can I survive without money? So there are several reasons why we give money. We've been doing some work in the church here, and it costs so much money to pay for that. So we give money to do all those things. So the next question is, does God like it when we give money to the church? Yeah. The answer is yes. But again, does God like it when we give more money or small money? For example, does God like it if I give 10 pounds? Or would he be happy if I give this? 10 pounds. This is 2 pence, isn't it? Which one would God be more happy if I give? Yes? He'll be more happy with the 10 pounds. And I'm sure that if I wanted to give you money, you would prefer this rather than this, right? So that's correct. God is happy. So usually we will say that God likes us to give more money in church than just pennies. There is a story in the Bible about a woman who came to church. And when people were putting money into the offering basket, she came out with something like 2 pence and dropped it in the offering basket. Other people were giving 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30, 40, 50, but they were all coins. So depending on how much you gave, the noise was more. So if you gave just 2 pence or 3 pence, the noise was little. But you can imagine having two pence in a bundle like that. When you throw it in a basket, what will happen? The noise will be more. So when this woman dropped her coins, there was very little noise. She gave only 2 pence. Others gave about 50 pounds, 100 pounds. And Jesus said this woman's offering was better than the others. Is that correct? Was Jesus correct to say that? How can somebody give you 100 pounds and another person gives you 1 pound and they say the person who gave 1 pound has given more? You do maths in school, isn't it? You do maths. So 100 is more than one. But Jesus said that because this woman gave everything that she had. And Jesus said the woman had given more because she gave everything out of trust and confidence, knowing that Jesus Christ was going to take care of her. Now, some of those who were giving so much money were giving their balances. They were giving their change, what was left over from what they had spent. So what we are learning from this is that first we should trust God. And when we are giving to God, we don't give only cash. We give ourselves in trust to Him. I knew you were going to come. Finally, you've come. Okay, are you happy now? So God wants us to bring our offerings to support His work. But He wants us to give not just money, but to give ourselves. Because what this poor widow did was, she gave everything she had. So in effect, she gave herself to God and said, well, God, take me, use me, do what you want with me to continue to promote your work. So each time we give our offerings, let us give it in trust. Let us give our offerings, giving also ourselves to God so that He can continue to use us to fulfill His purposes in the world. Let us pray. God, our Father, We thank you for the gift of life and for the resources to sustain life. And we thank you for that story of the poor widow and the ways in which she gave everything about her to you and to your service. Help us also, O Father, to be committed disciples as we follow you, both in giving our material things and also our lives. We thank you for our children, as young as they are. May they continue to grow into people who are willing to give for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Amen. Our next theme is All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. The widow of Zarephath. When the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then you make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. The New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, and we're looking at verses 1 to 4. Luke, chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. The widow's offering. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." God bless the readings of his holy word. Now let's sing together hymn number 461. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, giver of every good gift, shine your light upon us today as we reflect on your word and teachings. Grant us clarity and discernment. And may the scriptures resonate within us, reminding us always of our duty to share, to be thankful, and to see your hand in every bounty we enjoy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to think with you this morning on the value of our gifts. And I want to share some thoughts on Christian stewardship as an introduction to our journey to our upcoming harvest service. For Christian stewardship, in my view, is the true essence of discipleship. All of us are invited to enrich our church and to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ by giving, which in turn promotes our own lives. I think it was Winston Churchill who once commented that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Remember that for our church to grow and survive, our offerings must be deliberate, selfless, and impactful. Now just picture this for a moment. Your child or grandchild knows it's your birthday soon and they want to get you a present, but they don't have any cash. So they decide to wrap up one of their old toys from the attic, which they haven't played with in years. How would you feel about that? Now, on the one hand, they have been a bit clever. But to be honest, it doesn't feel like they have put in much thought or effort. You'd probably think they just tried to tick the box of getting you something without it costing them anything at all. Now imagine instead that they gift you their absolute favorite thing, telling you, "I really love this, but I love you even more. So I wanted to give you something that means a lot." Now, even if you didn't want or need that item, it would touch your heart. And it would touch your heart because it's the thought and love behind it that counts. Dear friends, that scenario reflects what we find in Luke 21:1-4. Because in it, Jesus Christ notices a woman who gives all she has, compared to the rich who might donate a lot, but it's just a tiny fraction of their wealth. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people should not give, or I'm not trying to question what the so-called rich do, but we are talking about purposeful giving, intentional giving, and sacrificial giving. And there are two things that determine the value of a gift. There is the spirit in which it is given. And this is all about the intention behind the gift. If you give something reluctantly, out of obligation, or just to show off, then the gift loses its true meaning. The best gift comes straight from the heart, given simply because you genuinely want to do it. And secondly, there is the sacrifice which it involves. What seems like a small amount to one person might be a lot to someone else. And while so-called rich people easily give their offerings or donate things to people, like the rich people in the text, without feeling any loss, the widow's tiny donation was all she had. The rich probably gave what they thought they could spare, but she gave with all her heart and couldn't give any more. True giving is when it is a sacrifice. A gift truly means something when you have had to give up something or put in extra effort for it. And not many people give with that kind of genuine spirit. It is like someone seeing a man or a woman in church passionately singing without really meaning the words. Dear brothers and sisters, to truly give like the widow did, we need to think about it and plan ahead. 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4 talks about setting aside money at the start of the week for giving. We should prioritize what we give to God. He shouldn't just get whatever is left over, and often we find that what's left isn't much after we spend on things we don't really need. When we decide to set aside our offering for God first, it helps us manage the rest of our money better, and it reminds us that everything we have comes from Him in the first place. And a final lesson to learn from the giving of the poor widow is that no one is too poor to give. The issue is not the amount, but the participation. In one sense, this woman's gift would not have been missed had she kept her 2 copper coins to live on. But what would have been missed was her sense of participation in the community where God was being honored. Had she walked by the temple and kept the coins, she would have been the loser. On the other hand, by contributing her 2 coins, she communicated an appreciation and trust for God that few others experienced. And Jesus' remark memorializes her courageous act and urges us to do the same. In 2 Corinthians 8-9, we are reminded that God loves it when people are happy to give, when they feel called to do so. We should aim to gradually increase what we give as our way to grow our faith and to sponsor projects in our church. This way, we will feel more connected to God's work, and we will clearly see how God is guiding us. I finish now with a quote by C.S. Lewis, who once said, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." For the church to truly flourish, our giving must be purposeful, selfless, and meaningful. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your enduring patience, for your guidance and your love. As we think about giving to the work of faith and to the church, let our hearts be ever thankful, and may our lives reflect the gratitude we feel. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bread of life and the true vine, we pray. Amen. We sing again, "Let us with our gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate our offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for others. Almighty Father, giver of life and sustainer of all things, we come before you in humble recognition of the multitude of blessings you have bestowed upon us. For every breath we take, for the means to sustain life, and the abundance we sometimes take for granted, our hearts swell with gratitude. Father, our hands bring forth offerings, a token of our thanksgiving, a symbol of our love and trust in you. Inspired by the widow's selfless offering in Luke, we acknowledge that true giving is not always about the magnitude, but the heart and sacrifice behind it. Accept, O Lord, these gifts, whether there be coins or notes, time or talents. Let them be used as instruments of your peace, love, and justice in a world that so desperately needs it. Lord, as we turn our thoughts outward, our hearts are heavy with the weight of the world's sufferings. We are reminded daily of wars that displace families, diseases that claim lives, and a myriad of frustrations and challenges that your children face. We especially lift up the ongoing political tensions within the United Kingdom and elsewhere, praying for wisdom, unity, and peace in these uncertain times. In the face of such vast global issues, we also remember those closer to home who have recently departed from this life to join you in heavenly glory. May they find eternal rest and joy in your presence, and may their families find comfort in your loving embrace. We intercede for your church worldwide. Empower its leaders with vision and courage. Fuel its mission with compassion and resilience. May your church be a beacon of hope, shining light in the darkest corners and bringing solace to the brokenhearted. Lord, in a world that sometimes feels overwhelmed by despair, let your hope arise. As nations grapple with challenges, may your wisdom guide leaders, your mercy heal the wounded, and your love restore the brokenhearted. And now, O Father, we bring before you our individual needs in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In your magnificent name we pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand and let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing that beautiful hymn, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." It's 512.
in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.